Okay. Well, I need to pray and ask God for help. Father, I thank you for this wonderful, wonderful attribute that you have of forgiveness, Lord. What an amazing God you are. You have such abundant forgiveness. And you are able to cleanse us from all sin, past, present, and future, and that you died for the sake of us. Lord, I can't ever get over that. It's such a wonderful thing, and I praise you for it. And I pray that now as we get into this subject of forgiveness that you so want in our lives, that you would make it very clear that this is indeed your power working in us that produces the same attribute that you are full of, forgiveness. So have your way, Lord, and we'll simply give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you've ever said, I'll never forgive that person as long as I live, that's too bad. Because you're going to become just like them. How is that possible? You say, well, my father was an alcoholic or my mother was an alcoholic, and I haven't touched a drop of alcohol. So how can you say I'll be just like them? Well, simply because the very anger and bitterness that you have towards them is going to make you just like them. So that's why it's so important to forgive. You cannot make your concentration on somebody that is an alcoholic. You don't want those same attitudes in yourself. So I hope you've never said that. If you ever said, I'll never be like my mother, be careful, because you'll probably end up being just like her. Anyway, let's get on to forgiveness. Forgiveness is rare. And what do I mean by rare? I mean that it's so valuable and so expensive. It's like a rare jewel. It's not looking the other way. It's not like a little cheap game of I'll forgive you. Forgiveness never just overlooks sin or winks at it. Forgiveness does not make light of a wrong. Or God could have said to Adam and Eve, oh, it was no big deal. You didn't understand. And you just chose to follow Satan. And it's no big deal. But it was. And the problem is that with us, we trivialize sin. We make very light of it. They didn't know, we often argue. But they chose not to believe God. And that's the horror of it. Forgiveness is not just politeness. It's not just tact or diplomacy, nor is it just forgetting it. It takes time for forgiveness to work, for the pain of it to go away. When God forgives us, he did not wink at our sin or overlook it. God took our lostness so seriously that Jesus went all the way to the cross, to Calvary, to substitute himself for us, to die in our place, to pay the price of our forgiveness. And he forgave such a vast debt. The cross shows how hard it was for God to forgive. The Lord despised the shame of the cross, and that we never should forget. Forgiveness is rare because it is hard. True forgiveness is the hardest thing in the universe. Forgiveness denies self that demands its rights. It's those rights that keep coming to the foreground. And revenge just screams to get the other guy back. But instead, you have to choose to hurt, to suffer. And that is one of the hardest volunteer choices you'll ever make. To accept undeserved suffering. Suffering that rightfully belongs to the one who wronged you. But that's the cross, isn't it? Forgiveness is hard and it's rare because it's costly. The person who forgives pays a tremendous price, the price of the evil they forgive. You see, we all have these little scales in the back of our head, and long as I'm on speaking terms with you, those scales are pretty evenly balanced. But if you have offended me or done something against me, then those balances, the scale balances is off, and I'm angry at you, and if I'm going to forgive you, it seems like it all is then on me, and I don't want that. So most people don't want to forgive, and that's because it's so costly. If I break a priceless heirloom in your home that you treasure, you forgive me, but you bear the loss, and I go free. Suppose I ruin your reputation. To forgive me, you must fully accept the consequences of my sin. And then you let me go free. And that doesn't seem fair, does it? In forgiveness, you bear your own anger and wrath at the sin of another. And then you voluntarily accept responsibility for the hurt he or she has inflicted on you, like Christ. God forgives by carrying his own wrath on the sin works we've expressed against him. Jesus absorbs our guilt and makes us free. What a Savior. He forgives by going through the sin to freedom, and that's what we receive. Forgiveness is costly because it's substitutional. No one ever fully forgives another except he bears the penalty of the other's sin against him. This substitution was perfectly expressed in Jesus Christ. He substituted himself for us, bearing his own wrath, his own indignation at our sin. That's what forgiveness costs. Hebrews 12:2 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." Despising the shame. Jesus literally became sin on the cross. He became so gross that it was hard to even look at him, because he actually became sin, or he wouldn't have died. He took the total insult of our sins so seriously that he went all the way to Calvary to die. What a debt we have to pay. But only God could pay it. Now, either the sinner bears his or her own guilt, that'd be cold justice, or the one sinned against may absorb the second party, what the second party did. That's forgiveness. That's what God did for us through Christ at Calvary. He tasted death for every man. Hebrews 2:9. That is why God's forgiveness is the most costly thing in the universe. The price of forgiving is high. That's why forgiveness is rare, hard, and costly, because it demands this kind of substitution. Be ready to forgive others as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Ephesians 4:32. You must bear the cost of forgiving just as God did for you. God paid the immeasurable cost of your forgiveness. How can you hesitate to pay the infinitely small cost of forgiving your brother or your enemy? Yes, forgiveness is hard. It is, if it were not, it would be a farce or a joke and not forgiveness. Forgiving and being forgiven are all of one piece. They cannot be separated. An unforgiving heart is unforgivable. These are things that you and I as new Christians have to learn how to forgive others, because people will always be trampling on us. But once you begin to learn how it frees you up, as soon as you forgive the other person, it becomes easier. How much should I forgive? Everything. Small things, big things, trivial irritations, tactless, thoughtless mistakes of others, even the hurts that can cut and sear. 70 times 7? Oh, yes, I remember after I was a new believer, I was sure that after a week of forgiving my husband, I at least had forgiven him 70 times 7. But the Lord was trying to teach me that 70 times 7 simply meant an undisclosed number. So I couldn't get away with, all right, I draw the line here, 490 times. He says, even if you had to do that many times a day, you still do it. So where do you begin? First, you don't try to be understanding. You simply learn to... You don't try to understand the other person. You simply learn to be understanding. Loving your enemy. It can't be pumped up or... You can't just bite the bullet or grim determination. It really is a gift from God, and this is where prayer comes in. You have to ask the Lord to help you. And that's really where the rub is. You don't want to ask. You really think if you just ignore this person or you don't pay any attention to them or you, it'll just go away. But God has a way of bringing us right back to square one. And you have to ask him to help you to forgive people. We do, some people really hurt people deeply, and some things take a long time to work through. But forgiveness is really a gift of God, which gives you the ability to value every man's life and see that Christ died for him or for her, and remember that he's made in the image of God. You're sure that this evil person that you're having to forgive is not made in the image of God, but that must have Satan in him for sure. But no, that's not true. And you can just tell the Lord, I can't forgive this person, Lord, so you've got to help me through and help me to see him as made in your image. He's done this and this to me. And then you're reminded to look at the cross and remember that a whole life of sin has been placed upon Christ. And he's asking you to forgive this one sin of this other person. But it takes time. And I think the longer you're walking with the Lord, the more quickly you will see that you don't want to spend time in unforgiveness, because it so often leads to bitterness. And that's what you want to avoid. And then, of course, in Matthew 5, 38 and 39, it says, you have heard an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And you say, no retaliation, no revenge, no repayment. Well, it takes far greater strength to practice nonviolence than to put up your fists and fight, especially for men. Violence never resolves violence. Hate can't overcome hate. Evil is never destroyed by evil. Revenge is always self-defeating. I hate to tell these Wall Street people that are out doing all kinds of things in the street, but what they're doing doesn't resolve anything. The only antidote to hate is love. Only goodness can extinguish the fires of evil. Indifference is mostly the way women resolve unforgiveness, because the opposite of love is indifference. And so it's a form of revenge. And the Lord said, vengeance belongs to him. But I have my rights, you say. Well, you want to get all the scores even, but if you start to say no and you don't give anyone a second chance, and if you refuse to show any mercy, then you can't hope for mercy. If you extend no forgiveness, you can't expect any in return. Life, love, mercy, forgiveness are all two-way streets. To receive, you must give. And then Matthew 5:44, such a good one. But I say to you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. That's because that's what Jesus did. He gave us an example. And you say, well, I just can't turn the other cheek if somebody slaps me. Well, not today, because God hasn't given you the grace today, but he will when you need it, if you will simply ask. He cares about the other person. And so often we forget the irritations that come at us is because God is trying to point out to you that other person needs your grace, it needs your mercy, needs your forgiveness, needs your touch. And if you're just fighting at them, then nothing is resolved. It's so important to see that those irritations are what God wants to turn around and make something good out of. And I thought about this because if you have somebody hard to love in your life, then what is God trying to teach you? He's trying to teach you genuine love. And until you have somebody hard to love in your life, you don't understand what genuine love is. Because if everybody's easy to love, yeah, that's love is easy, and it's not. It's just the opposite of the way we work. If you have people intruding upon you all the time, it may be you're trying to protect your personal rights. The personal rights belong to God, and you can become very angry about it. How can you know what self-control is all about unless you have wrong desires or you have temptations? That's how God allows us to have these things, so that we develop self-control. And you begin to see that every one of the fruits of the Spirit, there has to be some kind of irritation or something that's amiss in order for us to develop the fruits of the Spirit. I just wish I could wake up some morning and have all those fruits of the Spirit. But they don't come that way. They come by hard work, by irritation. Probably the most important thing to remember about forgiveness is that until you forgive somebody, you are held in bondage to that person. And that becomes your focus. And if you don't want to become like them, then you have to learn to work it through. And I say the best way to do that is to learn from God. In this little book called The Freedom of Forgiveness, 70 times 7, by David Augsburger, it's one of my favorite books on forgiveness. He has a little story at the end, which I think is so good. This is a story about May Haviland. She opened the door of her room one night and was astounded to see a burly, dark-haired man rifling her bureau drawers. Quietly, she closed the door behind her. At the faint click, the burglar wheeled, pistol in hand. "Put that thing down," she said. "I'm going to help you, because you must need whatever I have much more than I do, if you have to steal for it." The burglar was dumbfounded, watched as she opened a secret drawer and pressed her jewelry on him, telling him she was sorry that his need was so urgent. Suddenly, the man dropped his gun and fled, taking nothing. The next day, an unsigned note was in her mailbox. It read, "Madam, I have only known hate and fear. I can deal with them, but I was powerless before your kindness." Retelling it, May added, "Even guns are silent in the face of love. But you ask, if I turn the other cheek, how do I know it'll work? It may not. After all, love is not a strategy. It's a way of life. The life Jesus Christ gives, the life of love. Obviously, it's a difficult way. Any appeal to the enemy's conscience bears great risk. But do all the valuable things in life. But so do all the valuable things in life. The choice to love is the most risky choice in the universe. But in the end, it is the only alternative that will endure. Of all our motivations and decisions, only love is eternal." Well, there's several ways of looking at forgiveness, and it's if you're trying to injure back for the one that has injured you, then you are really no better than that person. And we have that desire in our lives, as I say, we have these balances in our brains, And we want to get even at some level, but that's called revenge. Forgiving an injury sets you above your enemy. And the most beautiful thing is, when you do, you are set free. There's a last little blurb in this book says, an age of violence needs men at peace with God and man. Boy, isn't that true today. Men who know Christ truly by following him daily in life. Men who give the defenseless love of Christ but are always on the offensive, always serving, always concerned about the other, always giving themselves for the good of others, always turning the other cheek for the sake of others. That is the way of Christ, the way of forgiving love. So we will know the truth, and the truth shall set us free. And when we allow the person that has hurt us and we forgive them, there's one thing that I haven't mentioned, and that is sometimes you can only have a spirit of forgiveness towards the person that has injured you. I have a friend whose husband was a pastor, and he was regularly sleeping with the women in the church until they started comparing notes, and it was a terrible, terrible thing. And of course, she could not forgive him. He was let go, and a new pastor came in, and the damage, it was a couple $1 million worth of damage had been left behind. But she lived in a spirit of forgiveness towards her husband, and she also left him. And no bitterness, only grief on her part towards the women that he had used. Very tragic situation. So you may be in a situation where you can't actually forgive the person, but you can live in with a spirit of forgiveness. And the Lord will honor that, and he'll free you up in that. There are some things that have to be paid through the government, through the courts, and you and I are left with mangled lives, but through the Lord you can bring much healing. So work on it. It's worthy of the work on it. So, Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity to study about forgiveness. Lord, we've just scratched the surface, but we praise God that you, Lord, live with forgiveness towards us, and that you want to work in our hearts, Lord, until we indeed forgive those that offend us. God, we are so needy in this area. So help us this day to live more like Christ. And we'll simply give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.